couple of points I wanted to make about, well, first, Isaiah 6, verse 11 that Mike just read, the point that he made about, and the land be utterly desolate. It's my understanding that, and this is recorded history, this isn't biblical history, that after, in AD 70, when the Roman Caesar, whichever one it was, that came in and demolished the city of Jerusalem and the land of Judea, that for centuries, well, millennia, thousands of years, that entire land was uninhabitable. It was just like it says, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. So after, I think it was Nero or somebody like that, I don't know, one of those Caesars, laid waste to Judea because they were rebellious. And, you know, they made movies about, what is that mountain where the Jews had a lot, final holdout up there on top of that mountain, but the land was wasted. It was uninhabitable. And Petra, no, I think it was started with an M. There was a mountain up there. Yeah, and near Petra. It was near Petra. But, yeah, that's exactly what happened in AD 70. And crops wouldn't grow. It was definitely wasn't the land of milk and honey. And is the one that made a point that that's how anybody that understands agriculture understands the importance of having of the term milk and honey. Where do you get milk from? You get milk from animals, and so you have. You know, you have ranchers and goats and sheep and cows, and that's, you know, and chicken and, you know, milk and honey. And honey you get from bees. And in order to have bees, you've got to have crops. And in order to have crops, you got to have bees. So about time, Gracie, I know you were watching that football game. Don't tell anybody the score. And so the land of milk and honey. But the point is that I recorded it, so I don't want to know the score. I'll probably watch it, bits and pieces of it, over the next 2 or 3 days. That's exactly what happened in AD 70. The land of Judea, the city of Jerusalem, was leveled. It was flattened. It was uninhabitable for thousands of years. Until just recently, it was desert, and it was crops wouldn't grow, and it took the modern day Jews and modern day technology and a lot of sweat and hard work by the modern day Jewish state of Israel, not the Israel of God, but the state of Israel, to make it livable. And now there were people always living there, but they did not thrive. And so that's point number one. And point number two, Acts chapter 28, verse 28, or maybe it's 27. Yes, 27 and 28. Do that. How many cross references in the Bible that was first spoken or written by Isaiah, right, Mike? In Isaiah chapter 6 and verse, one of the verses that you quoted. Yeah, isn't that what your cross reference there? Oh, okay, not sure. Maybe I wasn't listening as close as I thought it was. Yeah, Isaiah 6:10. Let me put it on the verse. I'm pretty sure that Jesus Christ quoted a variation of that verse during his earthly ministry. And here we see Paul quoting a variation of that verse. And so I know there are at least three times that sentiment, if you will, appears in the Bible. In the Old Testament, during the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. And then the third and final point that I want to make is Acts chapter 28:28. Acts chapter 28. Okay. How many times did Paul say this before in the book of Acts? You know, this is what people don't understand. I know the first time he said it was in his first recorded sermon there in Acts chapter 13. He's in Antioch of Pisidia. He's in a synagogue of the Jews. In this first recorded sermon by Paul, whose name is also Saul. Brian, are you awake? Luke goes into great detail in the very first recorded sermon of the Apostle Paul. He goes into great detail. First, Paul preaches the gospel of God there in Acts chapter 13, right, Mike?
Yes.
And then he follows up with the sleep typing. Okay. He preaches the foundational gospel of God to them, who Jesus Christ is. And then he follows that up with the gospel of Christ, that salvation without the keeping of the law. You know, you can be justified without the law of Moses. And I see that as the gospel of Christ was preached there. That's one little thing on Steve Gottberg's chart that I'm not sure about, if you know what I mean there, Mike. I see the gospel of Christ as preached in Acts chapter 13, is that it? But, actually, Steve Gottberg's chart, now that I think about it, it's right. He's got the gospel of Christ. He's got the gospel of God being preached up until Acts 13. The gospel of God only preached up to Acts 13. And that's true scripturally, and like you started the lesson off, we don't want to, no supposition allowed with the scriptures, and it's the one you posted, and I shared in Facebook. That's Steve Gottberg's chart. Didn't you read it? Didn't you read? I don't know why. When I downloaded it, the title on it was Steve Gottberg and who else? That other Texas teacher, Mike Schroeder's. Yeah, it says Mike Schroeder and Steve Gottberg, I think. Okay. All right, I'll double check it. So forget everything I said about it. It is correct. But you know, how many times does Paul say that in the book of Acts? Starting in Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I accept thee to be a light unto the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many were ordained to eternal life, believed. That tells me he preached the gospel of Christ. So there he says it, the first time, lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. But where is his very next stop? Let me just keep posting verses here. I don't think I'm going to miss any. So, as usually happens, the unbelieving Jews turn against them. Hold on a second, like water, and I'll read your comment. But after he says, lo, we turn unto the Gentiles, right? Where is his very next stop? Where does he end up going? He goes to Iconium. And where does he go to in Iconium? And it came to pass in Iconium, they went to both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. The Jews and also the Greeks believed. So what does that tell you? He says he's going to the Gentiles, but then his very next stop is a synagogue of the Jews. And who does he find in that synagogue? Both Jews and Greeks. So there are Gentiles hanging out in that synagogue. They're called Greeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us what a Greek in your King James Bible is. It's a Gentile who's seeking after the wisdom of God. They're seeking after wisdom. And it's the wisdom of God. That's why they're in the synagogue of the Jews. Acts chapter 17, they're searching the scriptures daily to see if these things were true. And so, Mike knows, he said the answer, do you have the other example of where Paul said he's going to the Gentiles? In the book of Acts, 18:6, there it is. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean, for henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Acts 18, verse 6. Yet, where's his very next stop? Let me find it. Where does he go after that? You got the verse handy, Mike? Oop. Well, let me just do a search here. I bet it's the synagogue of the Jews. Acts 17, verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And then he goes to Athens. And where does he go in Athens? Well, he goes to Berea, right? And he goes to a synagogue of the Jews. And a little bit later there, he shows up in Athens. And where does he go in Athens? He goes to a synagogue of the Jews. So, the point is, he said that he's going to Gentiles two times prior to Acts chapter 28. And Acts chapter 28 is where Luke, who is the writer of the book of Acts, he stops recording the transition. And so we can turn, and then we can compare Paul's Acts time period epistles with his post-Acts time epistles. And we see that Paul really did. This time it was final. That's why Israel was cast away, Acts chapter 28, like Mike just taught. And so I just wanted to add that to the study, reaffirm it, make sure everybody's awake. Brian's not awake. He said he wasn't. Let's see, go back, like water is left. Think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but fulfill. Having reached the goal, one no longer needs the path. Oh, and then he quotes the Bhagavad Gita 250. Oh, okay, so maybe as an admin, I'll go ahead and release the mic and I'll take care of banning that character. Open mic.
Hello? just before Paul turns to the Gentiles, both in Acts, whatever, 13, 14, and 18. I love what he says. What is it, 1346? Thanks, Daryl. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. And then in 18:6, your blood be upon your heads, your own heads. That's putting it kind of bluntly, isn't it?